This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
WEEI Afternoons back here live, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Buffalo Wild Wings across the street from Lambeau Field. Day two of the NFL draft, and some of us are basking in the glory of the number four overall pick, Will Camp, guy we wanted all along. To get another reaction, we go to the phone lines now to our friend Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, which means let's run the best intro for phone hits in the radio. Guess we don't have the radio intro today for Mike Giardi. So, Mike, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. And if I don't like the answer, we might hang up on you. What was your reaction to the Will Campbell pick?
I mean, I expected it. I totally expected it. It wasn't like this caught us by surprise. I don't love it.
Thank you, Mike Giardi.
No, well, this
seriously,
is...
Seriously, I'm not kidding.
No, people are having a hard time with this. Like, they think that I'm like assailing Will Campbell, a football player. I'm not. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to end up being a guard. I think history tells you he's going to end up being a guard. There's no one in the history of the sport, going back whatever, as far as mock draftable goes, 1995, with the hand size, wingspan, arm length, that's made a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro team at tackle with the measurables that Will Campbell has. So you're saying, basically, if you think Will Campbell can be that kind of player, that he's going to be a one-of-one. I generally don't bet on one-of-ones. Like, that's a risky proposition. He could still be a really good guard and be a good football player for you. He's one of your best five already. Perfect, wonderful. But, like, let's be realistic about what the draft was and what they ended up having to do because of holes that they couldn't fill for years.
Hey, Mike, what are your thoughts on the workout Mike Vrabel had with Will Campbell last week? I mean, it felt like it was a foregone conclusion that Will Campbell was their guy, but reportedly Mike Vrabel went down to Louisiana and just had a personal workout with Will Campbell. What does that mean to you? How do you view that event?
That's a good question, Ted. So Mike has been doing this forever. It's like people are like breaking this down like it's news to us because he's your coach, but obviously the NFL Network, I covered him. He loves to put on the blocking shield, whatever you want to call it, the pad, and he likes to get physical with guys that they're interested in the draft. He did it with Skoronski, who, was their first-round pick his last year in Tennessee. Like, he doesn't practice. Like, he likes to feel, as you say, he wants to feel their strength. He wants to know where it's coming from. He was a player in the league like you, Ted. He sort of understands, like, this guy hits differently, or there's a little power there that's a little different. And then I think that Will Campbell put him on his ass was probably like the cherry on top of the sundae. Like, I love everything about this guy, and he had no problem putting me on my ass. Like, I think that probably just like was the final the nail in the coffin of that's going to be our pick.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're a hypercritical negative media guy or a bad fan in my case, Mike, just because you have some questions about it. Like, I honestly wonder if some of these sort of, Vrabel intangibles or character desires may have trumped their belief in his ability on the field, or that he may be a better guard than tackle. But, it is what it is now, so we hope that things work out for him. But I do just want to retroactively ask, the way that the board was falling, where would you have gone at four?
I mean, I was a Jalen Walker guy, and the more I talked to people, I was and was told to go back and rewatch Mykel Williams, the more I felt really good about Mykel Williams too. Like, I think, as I said before about Walker, I think he, people look at him and he has short arms as an edge guy or a linebacker. but his speed is outstanding. He's the same high character guy. Like, you talk to people about this draft, and they'll tell you, like, there's four, like, unassailable guys in the first round. It's Hunter, it's Walker, it's Campbell, and it's Emeka Buka. Like, no one has a bad word to say about them. They love football. They, you know, they work with their teammates, like, everything. They're everything you want them to be. But I thought Vrabel would have a plan for a guy like Jalen Walker, and that he wouldn't have to be just an edge or just a linebacker. He'd be a weapon where you line him up all over the place. And that's what I would have done. And I think what you saw, and I've saw some people write and sort of dispute this, like, the way the board fell, they could have come back up and got the tackle. They could have gotten the Josh Connell if they liked them. You know, obviously they chose Campbell, and that's the decision. But, like, you can't wait. You can't wait. No, they could have. They could have waited, and they still could have got Connerly if that's what they wanted to do, or they still could have come up and got Simmons, but they chose to take Campbell at four, and now, you know, they've got the three picks here on the second day, and we'll see what they do with that, or if they're willing to move around the board at all.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, joining us on WEEI Afternoons. So, Mike, what do you believe Will Campbell has to do or be for this to be a successful pick? I think we all agree it's not a great draft, and you filled a massive need. Does he have to be a career tackle? If he's a Pro Bowl guard, if he's a starter at guard, like, what's the floor of his potential that says to you, okay, that was a fine pick?
Well, if he's a guard, then he better be Quentin Nelson or Zach Martin. Like, you can tell me what you want about the quality of the draft, but you know and I know, and this is where your scouting department and your GM and everybody gets, this is what they're, where they make their money, is you go find me the guy. Find me the guy that's going to develop into a star or has that star potential. And I think when you're picking at four, you don't pick safe. I mean, you'd like it. You'd like it to be Joe Alt, right? Like, great character, could play left tackle. You know, like, that's safe, but he's also going to be awesome.
Yep.
That wasn't this draft. So find me the guy that was going to be awesome. And that's what I would have done. So I say Campbell, if he goes to guard, then that's what he's got to be. If he stays at tackle and he's Matt Light, I mean, yeah, I guess. Like, I mean, I can't. Well, I would say this only because Matt Light was a second round pick.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah,
it's a totally different thing. Like, we all, Matt Light, if he's Matt Light, he's awesome. Well, yeah, but Matt Light was pick 30, whatever, or 40 or 50 or whatever the pick was. Will Campbell pick number four. Like, the first draft that Mike Vrabel has, you know, like, let's. If it works out, and from his character and his answers and everything, like, good Lord, he's awesome. Like, you know, just as a person and the kind of teammate you want. But it still comes down to, as Mike Vrabel said, good players. You got to have good players. That's the most important thing. So we'll see.
Always fun talking to Girardi about football. Yep. Love it. Love it, Mike. I'm just curious, change directions here a little bit. There were some other interesting storylines from last night, in particular Shedeur Sanders not getting drafted. Mm-hmm. And I find that kind of the trade between the Jaguars and the Browns to be fascinating. You can, I think, make compelling arguments on both sides for why they did what they did. But what was one of your favorite storylines from last night's draft?
I think the Jags thing is really interesting because, you know, new head coach Liam Cohen, new GM 34-year-old James Gladstone, and the way Gladstone talked about Hunter after they made the pick, like, you only get very few chances for a guy who can, you know, change the way you do things and can change your team, and this is a guy, and I believe he can be that guy. But to me, it also reeked a little bit of, we're the Jacksonville Jaguars and nobody cares about us. We got nothing going on. When we had the first pick and we got Trevor Lawrence, he never became what we, you know, hasn't become what we hoped he was going to be. We hired Urban Meyer. That was a disaster. They did that draft, by the way, that year on a freaking an aircraft carrier in Jacksonville. Like, it was this big thing, and everybody was there, and it was like, oh my God, new era, Jacksonville, this is awesome, Urban Meyer's awesome. And, you know, he didn't last a year. Trevor had a terrible year, kind of got a bounce back with Doug Peterson, but that has sort of, again, not gone in the right direction. So it's like, to me, part of this is, I don't know what you want to put, 25%, like, business. We need to sell jerseys. We're, you know, they're doing renovations on the stadium, so they're going to be playing at the University of Florida or in Orlando. Like, we need people to come to the game. We need to be relevant again, and we're no one cares about us. And having Travis Hunter, if he's as good as we think he can be, that'll make people care again.
A lot of talent still on that board, Mike Giardi. I got a couple of guys I'm hoping the Patriots take. They could be. I got some on the line, some on defense, some dynamic playmakers. So with that second-round pick and those two-thirds, what would you do, my friend?
It'll be interesting to see what happens in front of them. you know, six picks into the draft. So there's some really, you know, I think Ezeraku was felt like he was going to be a first rounder, and there's just some concerns a little bit about his overall, not enough sand in his pants. You know, he's a little light, so I think that kind of pushed him back here into the second round. Luther Burden, who could be the best receiver in this draft, or he could be someone that, you know, gets people fired.
Yep.
Because he's you know, sort of comes and goes when he wants. He'd be someone that, you know, do you want to add that type of player into your room after you added Javon last year and then the Polk thing didn't work out? Do you want to go more safe and say, like, hey, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Nolan, the two kids from Iowa State, the receivers, like, solid dudes, you know, both have the potential to be really good players in this league. Do you want to go that route? But I think those positions are open. I think because of their roster, again, they did some nice things in free agency. They still got a lot of holes. So if you told me they wanted to double up on offensive line, go for it. You want to draft a receiver? Go for it. You want to take an edge? Go for it. You want to take a defensive tackle? Do that too, because as I've talked about a few times, like, it's great that Barmore's working out, but you just, they need to have a little bit more insurance there. So I think they can go in a variety of different directions, and this should truly be best player available at 38.
Mike, we talked to Tom Curran yesterday, and some of his comments recently about Elliot Wolf have been borderline bullying, verbal bullying in the media. And yeah, and he's a strong
word. Tom wouldn't do that.
He would. He has. And he basically said he wanted Elliot Wolf to stay out of the way. Basically, the general manager should manage to stay out of the way.
Just to make sure I always have water in my glass.
Right.
You know, just...
Last night, you know, we got the video from the Patriots war room, and there he was front and center making the phone call and then handing it over. Elliot Wolf, and just anything you took away, maybe things you've heard, sort of the process that led to this pick and the process that will lead to the picks the next 2 days, I guess the power structure in the war room.
I mean, as I've said from the day one, I think it's Mike's team. I think Mike's getting what he wants. I think it's interesting that if you look at tomorrow's media availability, we'll be speaking with Ryan Cowden.
Yep.
Yeah.
Generally, you don't get the guy behind the guy
right
in the press conferences. We get Elliot Wolf tonight. We'll get Cowden tomorrow. It just, you know, I think they're trying to appease everyone at this point. But you know and I know that eventually, unless these two guys fall in love with each other in this shotgun marriage, eventually it's going to be Mike Vrabel with Ryan Cowden and Stretch, and that's going to be your front office.
Oh, you got more time?
Yeah, you got time for another one.
Are you sure?
Let's go.
Oh my gosh! Okay, that's very exciting. Okay, do you have a thought? Like, I feel like, Mike, there's starting to be some people that are starting to say now. Nobody really wanted to go out and stick their neck out and say this before the draft, but Shedeur Sanders not getting drafted in their first round now. Stephen A., Nick Wright, people are starting to say part of what's hurting Shedeur is his dad's, you know, influence in being there, and that maybe, you know, teams do not want the Deion Sanders experience. Do you think there's some validity to that, and why do you think Shedeur Sanders didn't get drafted in the first round?
I think there is some validity to that. Like, if you're, for instance, Brian Daboll, who I know is a very confident guy, known him for a long time, but, like, I don't know, you bring in Shedeur, you don't play Shedeur to start because you have Russell and Jameis. You're 1-5. You know Deion's going to say something. He's going to say it publicly. And do you want to have that? Like, I'm trying to keep my job. I'm trying to run my football team. And now I got some guy in Colorado making comments about my backup quarterback who I need to develop and isn't ready to play. Like, yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. But I think the real big thing here is he's a third-round quarterback. And if you want to give him the quarterback bump, he's a second-round quarterback. And for whatever reason, whether it's the media machine, a lot of people didn't want to push back against Deion. It's almost like a fear factor there. Like, my kid's going, you know, my two guys are going in the top three, like that whole thing. But I think the football people evaluated the quarterback and said, hey, late round two, round three, he makes sense. Round one, top five, what are you, nuts? His three biggest games last year, the three best opponents they played, were his three worst games. Year before, they weren't a good football team. You know, like, so there's good tape out there. There's some bad tape out there. He's someone, I think, the people that really dug into him, and I didn't have to, because you and Patriots, that wasn't a thing for them. The people that really dug into him said, like, he needs to develop. He's a guy who needs to come in and sit for a year, maybe two. And then what's the ceiling? Because he's not an awesome athlete. He doesn't have a huge arm. He doesn't throw well off platform because he doesn't have the huge arm. He is accurate, and he's incredibly tough. The kid's toughness is off the charts. But, like, what's the ceiling on that player? He's not. You're not winning because of him. You might win with him if you build the right team around him. So, in some ways, feels a little bit like Mac Jones, you know? Like,
yeah,
different, same, you know, like, not the big arm, like, that whole thing. So, I think that's really what it came down to is, by and large, football people, you know what? If he was awesome, well, this will have to deal with Deion. He's not awesome. So, they'll let it slide. And, look, he could end up being a good value pick for somebody, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, if he lasts into the fourth round. But first round probably never really made sense, and it probably hurt the kid. You know, now it looks like, oh, he fell. Well,
exactly.
Maybe he was always there, and the media hype train is what caused him to feel this way.
All right, he's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the next couple days of more NFL draft action, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Always a pleasure. Safe travels back, boys.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
That ship has sailed. Anyway, we are happy to announce that in the next few minutes, we will be getting a phone call from number 4 overall pick, Will Campbell.
Love that.
The left tackle of the New England Patriots, fresh off his introductory press conference at Gillette Stadium, where he took the photo opportunity with Robert Kraft. Jonathan Kraft got his number 1 jersey. Mike Giardi seems like he's leaning a little bit more towards the Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens camp of things, and I am staying very positive and optimistic, but I look forward to talking to Will Campbell, because we've talked a lot about how comfortable he is, and that's one thing I want to ask him. Is it just his personality? You know, why is he so comfortable answering all these questions? Like, this is a, you know, he's a southern Louisiana boy who now all of a sudden is flying up to Boston, dealing with the Boston media, and he's like, what else?
He's got this, no problem. I mean, part of it is probably because he has superior confidence in his abilities.
I like that.
And, you know, for a guy that, I mean, for him to kind of chirp back or clap back at, you know, the negative press and arms and people who are questioning him, that says something about the kid. Like, if you're going to go on record and defend yourself and basically call everybody else, you know, idiots for not knowing what they're talking about and proves all of us doubters wrong, I mean, he's going to go in another level of kind of legendary status if he does that. So he's got superior confidence in his abilities.
And especially Fitzy telling us that, in week 5 of the college season, I told them that's where I wanted to be. I want to go there. And I'm guessing he followed the team.
Real quick, that has that kind of Brady telling RKK, you just drafted the best player in the history of your franchise kind of feel to it, doesn't it?
Especially, I would say, in a way, even more so, because – Brady's coming in, Bledsoe, there's that whole whatever. If Will Campbell wants to go to the Patriots, I'm guessing he followed the Patriots last year and said, they really look like they could use me over there at left tackle.
Dude, after week 5, it's like, well, after week 5, the Patriots were pretty bad.
Right.
You wanted to go to that team?
Vidarian Lowe was getting, you know, lined up wrong.
Yeah.
Penalties, like Chukwuma Okorafor left the team. If you want to go to a team, I'm guessing you followed the team and kept up with what was going on with the team. So I love –
we can ask him that.
Absolutely. And I love that aspect of this. That
just so people know, Will Campbell coming up in a few minutes. We'll have him live on WEI Afternoons.
And Mike Giardi, our safe travels will include tomorrow morning, we also found out during the interview with Mike
Giardi. Not getting home tonight, bud.
We may spend the night in Chicago, but there's nothing wrong with that. We're covering the NFL draft. We're talking
having
football.
Having fun, man.
We're talking about the future of the Patriots with Will Campbell sliding into that left tackle position. And that is a good question to ask him when we get the chance momentarily. Yep. You know, did he follow the Patriots last year? And I love the fact that he mentioned history talking about that. And joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons live from the NFL Draft is indeed Patriots first-round pick number 4 overall left tackle Will Campbell. Joining me, Andy Hart, alongside former Patriots linebacker Ted Johnson and Nick Fitzy Stevens. How are we doing today, Will?
I'm doing good. How about y'all? I appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. We listened in a little bit to your press conference on the field at Gillette Stadium. And we were talking about how comfortable you seem doing these interviews and these media sessions, and you seem to hit a home run with every answer, the right tone, the right words. Has that just always come naturally? Do you feel like that's just part of your makeup? What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, honestly, to be honest with you, it just came naturally to me. Just try to stay calm in any answer. Just give the best answer I possibly can. Not give too much, but give enough.
Hey, Will, congratulations on becoming an NFL football player. I'm just curious. You know, you're an emotional guy, and I just, you know, it was fun to hear you talk about being drafted by the Patriots after you got drafted. And it just made me think, I'm curious, like, where did your love of football begin? What was the kind of the big genesis of your desire to play football?
Yeah, I mean, my dad introduced me to the game when I was, you know, a little boy. When he came out of the room at the hospital holding me, he was holding me like a football. it's something that's always, you know, ran through my family. I've loved it, you know, ever since I was a little kid and was able to understand it. And it's just something that's gave me and my family a lot of great memories, and I'm just super excited for the next step.
So, Will, it's no secret or surprise to anyone that New England established itself as the gold standard of the NFL this century with 6 Super Bowl wins over 19 years with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, but it's also no surprise that the team has struggled the last couple of years. So, what made you want to come to New England so badly, so much so that you told Executive Vice President of Player Personnel Elliot Wolf way back in the 2024 season that New England was where you wanted to end up?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to play for a franchise with the history that of this one. Playing for Coach Vrabel was something that, you know, I wanted to do. I wanted a fan base that, you know, truly is passionate about this team, just like the one I'm used to. I think, you know, this team is something that I was looking forward to joining because I know what we can be. I know that we had the pieces to, you know, be a successful football team. I'm super excited to, you know, play for Coach Vrabel. He's my type of guy. And I'm just, you know, really looking forward to, you know, this football season.
It seems like, Will Campbell, you have natural leadership ability. What is that? What is your leadership style? And what do you think some of the challenges are of being a young rookie player on an NFL team, but also asserting yourself and taking on a leadership role in a professional locker room?
Well, I couldn't really tell you, you know, the challenges yet because I hadn't really been faced with them yet to be in the locker room with these guys and things like that. But, you know, I think, you know, the biggest thing for me is, you know, come in every day, be the best version of myself every day, be the best teammate, the best player and the best person that I can be every single day in between this building out there on that field. And, you know, everything else will take care of itself.
You know, Will, being a former player, I got to admit, I loved your kind of your response to how you feel like what your job is in protecting Drake May, just making sure you have his back. And I'm curious, you know, just your thoughts on Drake. If you watched him in college and you watched him in the pros, what are some of the attributes and things that you noticed when you watched Drake May?
Yeah, I mean, he's a heck of a player. It's no secret. I've been very fortunate to, you know, block for some pretty dang good quarterbacks in my time at college with Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier, and now my first one in the NFL is Drake May. So I've been very, you know, fortunate. I'm super excited, you know, not only build our relationship on the field, but, you know, off the field. And I'm just looking forward to it. He's a heck of a player. And not only me, you know, just the rest of the O-line, we just got to put him in the best position possible to, you know, help us win games.
All right, so Will Campbell, you're not afraid of the media and public speaking. You're not afraid of criticism or answering questions to people that, you know, want to know things about your body, arm length, wingspan, et cetera. You're not afraid of oncoming defenders and people that want to wreck you and your quarterback. So I have to ask you, is there anything you're actually afraid of?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Fearless, I love it.
What are you looking forward to in terms of living in the Northeast? I know you talked about seafood, and maybe that's a little different down in LSU. Like, what are you looking forward to maybe of that lifestyle change to the Northeast?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been in Louisiana my whole life, so being able to, you know, be in a new community, experience a new culture, expand my horizons is something I'm looking forward to. This is a very passionate city, a very passionate fan base. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, meeting everybody, you know, everybody being able to put a face to a name with me and vice versa. And, you know, just moving up here, getting to work. I'm excited for the snow. I don't really get to see that too much. I've seen it twice in my life, and once it was in Colorado. So,
I'm Will. I'm just Vrabel's a former teammate of mine, and I I could kick his ass then. I could still kick his ass. But it sounds you guys had a – he had a workout with you last week and got his hands into you. It sounds like you got the better of him. Anything you can share for – I mean, did you put him on his back, bro? How did that play out, that session?
I mean, I'm not going to give too many details, but let's just say I got him. he had to get a new T-shirt after the workout.
Nice.
I love it.
I love that. Now, obviously, Will, there's a lot of things about this place that are going to require a steep learning curve, from the traffic to the size of the roads, the wind, the cold, everything. If you ever need any help, this show's got you covered. But I just wanted to ask you, as your own man with a distinct personality, definitely a football guy, is there any one player you would say you idolized growing up or that your game most resembles?
Yeah, I like to, take every, bits and pieces from whoever it might be, that's in the league now. But, being a kid from North Louisiana, a guy that I truly looked up to as a young aspiring offensive lineman was Andrew Whitworth and Cam Robinson. They did it the right way in high school, college, and in the league. They've had, a lot of success in all three of those. And, whenever you're from there, they're one of the few guys that's been able to do it at the highest level. So you look up to them and what they've done, and they kind of set the foundation for, guys coming out of that area that play the position.
Will, before we let you go, you're well aware that media fans will be judging your career. You're the number 4 pick in the draft. There was talk of tackle and guard and arm length. So we're going to be, judging you from afar. How will you judge yourself? What is a successful rookie season and then successful first couple years of a career for Will Campbell look like?
Yeah, man, I just want to win. Winning takes care of everything else. So, my biggest goal is, just come in any type of way I can and, help this team improve, be the best teammate I can be the best leader that I can be, and just put the best product on the field every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever day we play on the field possible.
He is Will Campbell, number 4 overall pick, first-round pick of the Patriots. Appreciate you joining us on WEEI Afternoons, and look forward to you getting the pads on and watching you in training camp.
Yes, sir. No doubt. I'm excited. Thank you all.
All right, bud. Thank you.
As we'll have to learn to say now, go Pats, G-E-A-U-X.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
He's a Louisiana boy. Will Campbell's interview and all our draft coverage here on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by our great sponsors, McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com. By Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts amongst energy drinkers who like to get lucky. And by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and McCormick Grillmates Seasoning. WEEI Afternoons, we will react to Mike Giardi and, more importantly, Will Campbell calling in next here as we roll along live from Green Bay, the 2025 NFL Draft.
Go Pats.
That was the voice of Patriots first-round pick Will Campbell just moments ago here with WEEI Afternoons. We are live at the NFL Draft in Green Bay from Buffalo Wild Wings across the street from Lambeau Field. If you missed the Will Campbell interview, you can go back and listen to it on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Download that now. Or you can stick around to 5:30. We will replay it in its entirety. I thought we got some interesting answers out of him, which I said to Ted during the break here. He's done a bunch of media in the last, not even 24 hours, less than 24 hours. There was the press conference, the interview on stage, the Patriots Zoom with local media, like all of these things, the press conference today. And I thought got some different answers on him. Took it a little different direction a couple times.
We learned some things. He got Vrabel's shirt dirty a little bit.
I thought he was going with a different piece of of clothing there.
Right. No, but he, clearly the kid gets it. He's a bright young man. He's an interesting guy, and he feels like he's got natural leadership qualities.
Yep.
I love. And you want to pair young studs on offense with a young stud quarterback.
Yep.
Right. And so, like, Morgan Moses is going to be great for Drake May, but for the long term, it's better to have a guy like a Will Campbell who's going to play along with Drake May for years to come is the hope, and they grow together. And so, look, everything about Will Campbell, I absolutely love post post-draft. You know, I knew he was a good kid before he got drafted, but I people who are skeptical or have doubts, I don't know how he's not going to win those people over just by listening to him talk about how he feels about his team, his teammates in the game of football.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like Fitz.
Yeah, I was just going to say, go ahead, Andy. Go ahead.
A little ebb and flow here where people doubted him. Then there's no football played between now and August. So you're going to fall in love with him because it's only going to be interviews and packages and stories. And then people are going to like him. And then you get to the football season, and then he has to prove, well, yeah, he can block the guy that has long arms and is coming around
the proof
the
will
edge.
Be in the pudding.
Right. But, yeah, the personality can carry him through the summer here, Fitzy.
Oh, 1,010%. I feel like at this point now, he's doing, like, football interview umami. Like, every single thing he says is just hitting all the right notes. Like, I'm excited to watch him play. I want to see him hang out with his teammates. I look forward to the next interview. He's ingratiating himself into this community and this fan base brilliantly in less than 24 hours' time. Like, either he's well coached up or this is innate and organic to him, in which case he's just going to live his own life, be his own man, and I think Pats fans are going to, like, just let their concerns about arm length, guard play, whatever, ebb by the day with this guy.
Yeah, no, I think this is natural. Like, he said it in the earlier press conference with the media. I like to talk to people. Like, Ted, if he was with us last night when we were walking through those crowds, I feel like he would have just stopped. He would have talked to this person, taken a photo. I just think he's, you know, that idea.
Affable guy.
Yeah, a man of the people. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself here because he hasn't put on a helmet. He hasn't put on practice pads, never mind game pads. But you're right, Ted, that tying together, and I'll go back further, Christian Gonzalez, Drake May, into Will Campbell. It just feels like you're those pillars, like you're putting up those pillars of an organization and of a team, a left tackle, a quarterback, a star cornerback. You know, maybe you can sprinkle in a couple more, or it just the optimism, the hope you talked about, now it's like, is that hope turning toward expectation? Like, it's not just hope. It's not blind faith. I'm seeing some fruits of the labor.
It doesn't it feel, you guys, that there's – it's always nice to kind of have a regime, make decisions in a way that we feel like, oh, I see what they're trying to do here.
Right.
Like, it feels like I understand what they're trying to do here. Like, the free agent class, they're like, you know, we need some veteran players – established players. They might not be studs, but, you know, pros that come in here, they might not be the best players, but you know what? They're solid football players that can will help create a culture. You know, so you bring in 6 to 7 maybe free agent starters, and you mix them with these young players. That's how you build a team, and it's a puzzle, and all these different pieces are important. You know, moving Joe Milton to Dallas was part of putting this puzzle together and forming a team that is cohesive and pulling in the same direction. And I feel like I understand, Fitzy, kind of what Vrabel's trying to do here and why they're making the decisions they're making.
The drafting of Will Campbell, the scouting, the meeting with him, all the homework and due diligence that Wolf and Cowden and Stryker and Vrabel and company did is making more sense and becoming clearer by the day, as is his vision for what kind of football team he wants to have.
And I will add one more aspect to the Will Campbell love fest, I guess. Fitzy, you and I have always talked about the jersey. Yeah, what kind of jersey are you going to buy your kid? There was a little lull there where you're like, I don't know if I want to buy any Patriots jersey for my kid. Well, you add the cornerback, you add the quarterback. They're obvious. I think Will Campbell is one of those rare offensive linemen. If he's sort of on the upside of what we think he can be paired up with this personality, he could be one of those rare offensive lineman jerseys that people like to
wear. Oh, yeah. There were a lot in the heyday, Andy. There weren't, you know, many, you know, Ryan Wendells. There weren't a lot of Stephen Neals. But there were a decent number of Matt Leitz. Like, were, like, back in the day.
Logan Mankins.
Yep. Oh, you definitely had a lot of Logan Mankins. Like, people that had the personality, the flair, and the results and resume to speak. I wouldn't be surprised if the 66s start flying.
617-779-7937. We see your phone calls lining up, reacting to Will Campbell, reacting to the Patriots draft picks. We'll get to your phone calls next here on WEEI Afternoons. Patriots first-round pick Will Campbell with us just about a half hour ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed it, stick around 5:30. We'll be replaying the entirety of that interview with the Patriots first-round pick that everybody seems to love right now, but not everybody. because I look to my call screener. We're going to go back to the phone calls, get the fans involved with the Will Campbell discussion, 617-779-7937. And we have Ray in Revere, and it says on my screen, not happy with the pick. So, Ray, what's wrong with it?
Well, so I think he's a good kid, and I think he's sincere. I just don't think they exercised all their options, guys. Look at what Washington did, where they traded a number three for Laremy Tunsil, and they traded chump change to Deebo Samuel. We had the same two needs. And I personally would, and by the way, Tunsil's a five-time Pro Bowler, the last three in a row. I personally would rather have Tunsil, Samuel, and then trade out of the four and get more picks than take a guy with question marks and Stephon Diggs. And I think that's the difference between a GM-led organization with Washington and then a coach-led organization. We were just as bad as they were 2 years ago, guys, and they are light years ahead of us now. But I don't think they think as creatively. I don't even know if they were in on those deals. Okay, if that's what I would be asking if I were Robert Kraft. Tunsil for number three, we've got more picks and money than those guys. Were we in on the deal?
All right, thanks for the call, Ray.
I'm curious, though, it's like if he was still on, I would ask Ray, like, okay, those were deals that were done in the off, like in the free agency. Like, you know, they didn't do those deals last night. And he says they wish the Patriots would have traded back. Reports are nobody called the Patriots to trade back. So the Patriots couldn't have traded back, Ray. And those, look, I like those moves that Washington made too. I kind of wish the same thing. I don't know, getting Deebo Samuel in the offseason, getting, Laremy Tunsil. Those were nice, savvy moves that I wish the Patriots maybe would have thought of. But as far as just what they did last night, I don't know. I mean, if you didn't want Will Campbell, who was a better pick at four than Will Campbell?
Yeah.
That's really the question.
Right. And, we've talked about Tyler Warren. He ended up going 14 to the Colts.
Yep.
We've talked about Ashton Jeanty, if you're just going Fitzy with the auto draft from Yahoo, best player available, mm-hmm. but then you're drafting a running back.
And who went number five? Mason Graham, right?
Yes.
And we already have a defensive tackle.
Right, you don't need a defensive tackle. And then in regards to, you've talked a lot about this, that in some ways the Patriots are following the Washington blueprint, but like a year behind.
Correct.
And I think there's, I know people don't want to hear this, but I think there's some truth to that. And I think the truth of that means you're a year behind going after guys like Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel, because you want the young draft picks that are the foundations of, oh, my God, we went from 4 wins to 10 wins. Now the next offseason might be when you go and get those veteran pieces that put you over the top. The Commanders went to the NFC title game. They're probably thinking, we get a left tackle like that, we do a couple moves, we can go to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl. You're a little bit behind that curve in that process. So I actually don't hate that they didn't go after guys like Tunsil or Deebo. If they draft well, Fitzy, if they use these picks today and tomorrow to get guys that actually step on the field, contribute, start games, rotate, then isn't that going to make you feel better at this point next year when they're kind of fine-tuning the roster more than rebuilding it?
I actually like the caller Ray's point, though. This is not something I feel like we have discussed very much. As much input as a Cowden and a Wolf or a Stryker or anybody else may have, he said this is the difference between a coach-run organization, and there's no doubt, no denying, that Vrabel is the face of and the final voice of this organization, whereas Adam Peters strikes me as somebody who was running autonomously from Dan Quinn and everybody else. And that's those are probably more clean evaluations. Like, here, I will look into the groceries. I'll look into the ingredients. I will shop and procure for you. I'll Instacart them. I'll go pick it up myself. You, Dan Quinn, you and your coordinators do that work. And as to the idea of the Patriots getting interest from other teams for that fourth pick, we actually have some audio, if Stanley can cue it up, of him addressing that very subject matter.
No. I think at this point in time, it was pretty quiet. I think we would have entertained anything that anybody offered us, but it was pretty quiet. I mean, I think everybody was going up for two players, and one was already there, and they didn't have to move, and the other team that wanted to get to two got there. So we would have been open, but excited to be able to get, stay there and pick and get Will.
So to all the people that don't like this pick, I guess what did you want the Patriots to do? If nobody wanted to dance with you and trade, and you had if it wasn't Will Campbell, you know, are there going to be people that you know, they should have been Ashton Jeanty? It should have been Tyler Warren. It's like, okay, I guess, but it's hard to make compelling arguments for those players when you consider how much they needed a left tackle and the importance of those positions on this team at this current time.
And I don't want to read too much into, because I don't know exactly what Vrabel means there when he says we would have entertained those offers. I hope he means we would have entertained those offers in a way that we could have traded down a couple spots and still taken Will Campbell. Because I think wanted Will Campbell.
Right.
I liked the conviction of the idea that we've wanted him for months.
Can I ask one question real quick? I just want to throw this question out here. It just hit me like a bolt of lightning, because I found the
thunder,
the trade between Cleveland and Jacksonville fascinating. So it's like, does this make sense? If the Patriots lost Week 18 against mm-hmm. Buffalo,
yeah,
they could have had a first rounder, a second rounder, and a fourth rounder
mm-hmm. yep.
given to them.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Like, just. Imagine just losing that game, the options you would have had, Fitzy. Like, I mean, look what Cleveland got for just a team that won. It was three slots behind them. I mean, the Patriots could have cleaned up by losing that game. And I think people would have felt so much more differently about this draft than they do right now.
And that's why they fired Gerard Mayo and traded Joe Milton, the two guys that cost them that opportunity in that draft pick. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls reacting to the Will Campbell pick. But up next, we're going to touch on some of the other stories from last night in the NFL draft. The trades, the picks, Jackson Dart. Is he the savior for Brian Daboll, or is it the last move that Brian Daboll and company will make in New York? And we'll also look at tonight's draft, where the Patriots pick 38th. And then two more picks in the third round. Who do you want them to go after? Fitzy, Hart, and Johnson all have ideas for the Patriots. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.